Open the door to huge savings now at Menards. Enhance the appearance of your home with a new stylish garage door. Choose from our large in-stock selection of ideal garage doors or design your own using our free garage door designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big and ideal garage doors. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
We think about how far he just basically was so close to home plate when he delivered his pitches. Like, it was impossible. He had these arms and legs with that crossfire delivery, like going from a low slot like this dude, but he was stepping so far out. A lot of tall guys cut themselves off. Like, that's just the, when I see a 6'10" guy, I saw I can't even remember the guy's name. I don't think he's really a prospect, but a few years ago, I saw a 6'11" Pirates prospect who was extending maybe 5'11". Like, that was it, and he was getting beat up, okay? The difference between that dude and this dude is, A, one was right-handed, one was left-handed. This dude actually has really good pitches. It's a plus sinker, essentially, two-seamer. He has a plus sweeper that he was able to change speeds off, and I think that was a big thing that I really honed in on when I saw him. He also has some other pitches. I like the cutter for what it is. I think it's his pitch against right-handed hitters to keep them off the fastball slider. The changeup, he had solid velocity deception, but there was some early predictable movement. A good changeup, you got two kinds of changeups that are really kind of prevalent. You got that airbender that we know from Williams, the closer for the Yankees. And then you have,
Devin,
you know, the firm one that fades and drops and that sort of thing. I believe his is to be more firm. It's not one of those real big movers. Hunter Gaddis is another guy that has one of those slower, you know, non-firm changeups out there. I'm naming relievers for whatever reason. There are starters that have that as well.
you're not selling us very well here. You're like, hey, yeah, here's all these relief pitchers that are just like Noah Schultz, Chris.
No, I'm not saying they're just like, I'm just explaining the differences between the changeup. His changeup just needs to be firmer. That's essentially what it is. Because it does have the arm side fade that you look for. It should be a better tool. It has the velocity different, the separation. It also has the look as well. It might not extend as far with the pitch, but it has the look, especially at this level, that it should succeed. I have the sweeper as a future plus pitch. I have the two-seam fastball as a future plus pitch. The cutter is a future average to above average pitch. The changeup, below average pitch. I actually projected him as a SP2, SP3. It's just, to me, it's going to be, it's very paramount to get that extension, that additional extension for everything to play up. And seeing that he's gotten essentially four inches, if he gets four more inches, then maybe my projection is more SP1, SP2. But I just don't necessarily see guys, when they're developing, get that much extension out of their delivery while they're developing. Another thing that might come into play is, with more extension, you tend to have lesser command as well. So that's another fear that I do have with this. I try to like players. I saw a lot of things I liked. I had him on an SPRP bucket. Like, there could be these different outcomes. I think now I have him firmly in the SP bucket. So, like, While I sound down on him, I feel like he's established himself enough that he's an SP bucket kind of guy right now.
I'm laughing if anyone, again, I'm just, the clips I put on the YouTube, but I'm laughing because it's the most real life scout thing that Blessing just said there, because like every scout, like real, like there's buckets of scouts, by the way. Like I don't call myself a scout, but like I do scouty things sometimes, and there's different levels of how people look and approach and evaluate and stuff like that. But the most like real true life scout thing is like every scout hates all the players. Like I always go back to the time in the AFL. I was sitting with Jeff Ponce and we were talking about, I've said this story before, but we're talking about Gabby Moreno. And just, you know, Gabby was just having this like phenomenal year, and he was just, everything was good. And he was really just like not, he was not taking bad hacks. And I was kind of like, man, he just reminds me of how Vlad was in the AFL. Just no bad swings, only good contact. We're just doing all this stuff. And then Jeff starts talking about him. And then this just scout turns around at us and he goes, "You can't frame for S." And like, that was the only thing he had. Like, it was, Gabby was just like all this great stuff. And he was like, "He can't frame." And that was his take of, he won't be a major leaguer. And then sure enough, that looks silly. But it always just makes me laugh when you said that, when it's just like, I want to like the players, but sometimes it sounds like a little bit negative.
Yeah, sometimes so it does sound negative, and it's true. It's what it is. But I found a lot of things to like about him while also finding some concerns at the same time.
Yeah, and that's how it should work. I mean, you want the evaluation to be as crisp as possible. The unique thing with Schultz, I think he actually is towing this line of fantasy to real life, because from a real life perspective, I think there are some, you know, some maybe concerns that kind of stare you in the face and whatnot. But from the fantasy perspective, you talk about like, oh, he's getting closer to the plate. The extension, it's getting bigger. There's huge strikeout potential. You know, you've got this big inside two seam sinker that he's going to bury on guys with this sweeper. Like, there's a lot of strikeout potential. He's got to stay healthy and consistent. We're kind of starting to see that. So where he floats as far as valuations, let me throw a Noah Schultz or Chase Burns. Which side?
Chase Burns.
That was easy for you, wasn't it?
I'm a big Chase Burns fan. I think that the pedigree coming out of Wake Forest, I'm looking so much forward to seeing him in person, because everything I've so far have just absolutely loved from what I've saw off video. Even this year, he's being promoted to Double A this week. He's on the roster. Unfortunately, I won't be able to see him on Saturday. I'm really bummed by that, but I have a family obligation to go to in Philadelphia. So, like, I just, Burns' pedigree is so much better than Schultz. Schultz's pedigree, coming out of high school, going through the White Sox organization, not really like that extension thing that I talk about. Like, a lot of other organizations would have saw steep improvement from the time he got drafted to the time he made his pro debut, essentially. And it's now what, we're in the third season of Noah Schultz since his pro debut, and we're starting to see those changes when he's in Double A. To me, even though one just got to Triple A, one's a little older, or Double A, one's a little older, man, having the pedigree that Chase has is just going to be such a blessing for him and the rest of his development.
Okay, so only one more then. Hagen or Noah? Hagen Smith or Noah Schultz?
Ooh, that's the hardest one. Because again, I saw them both. One looked bad for me. One looked good for me. One away from me has been pretty good, and the other one has not. Noah Schultz hasn't been good the other two games that he's pitched. I think upside, Noah Schultz has the win. But here's the thing, is I think that Hagen Smith's floor is a lot greater. And so I hate to throw this out there, but like, I have them currently ranked as like my fifth and sixth favorite starters. And like, if I go and do that ranking, they could come up a different way each time. Today I would say Noah Schultz. Tomorrow I might say Hagen Smith. if that makes sense. But today, my answer is Noah Schultz. It's not because of their organization. It's not because they're lefties. They're, the comparisons, I don't really compare them. They're very not similar in a lot of ways. But like...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Smith does things. Of course, he's a little more advanced, having come from Arkansas and having not come from, like, he hasn't been in the White Sox development for a while. I think the White Sox development, like, I finally have seen changes this year that I've never seen before. That, like, it seems like they, I don't know how much they've changed their philosophy. I know Brian Bannister came on last year. But you're starting. I'm starting to see things, but the level of, I mean, we're looking at 20 years of like no development with the White Sox.
Yeah,
and so like it's a big, you know, I just don't know if it's for real or if it's guys that are just going to work off site, you know, kind of thing. Like I saw, what's his name, Tyler, pitcher, left-handed pitcher, Tyler. Schweltzer. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I saw him last year and I saw him this year. Last year I was kind of like, this year I put an MLB grade on him. Granted, don't say that I think he's going to be a starter or anything, but like, I feel like he's a major league pitcher now. Like the improvement from one year to another, I've not seen in prospect. Christian Opor with the low A teams, another guy
that has interesting.
That is super interesting. Like I wrote up his report and it's probably one of the most like hedging. Like I hate the report that I read because I hedge so much. But
you're like he could be a huge strikeout option, but he could also maybe not make it to the majors.
But you look at it and you look at how much his delivery has changed through his progression from when he was in Pensacola to now, you know, are all these guys working at pitching labs offsite? I'm sure some of them have, but also like it's obvious that the White Sox have done something. So like I can give them their flowers and say, good work, keep it up. But like also how much of this improvement's really them and how much is it working at labs for these players or new commitments? Some guys finally commit.
And I can't speak 100% to it, but I can tell you that this whole crew of pitchers, they were out very early with the White Sox. They're like we're talking January, February, way before anybody was out there. No major leaguers. They had been training at the facility. Let's do like a 10-cent tour on this one because I want to hit some of the hitters and then a few of the other guys that you hadn't seen. But just real quick take on Grant Taylor. You got to see Grant Taylor. He's kind of the forgotten guy on this list. Some think there's reliever in there. Some think he could maybe be the biggest bowl of all of them. You got to see him live. Just give us a 10-cent tour on your thoughts on Grant Taylor.
The stuff's phenomenal. The extension is elite. Like he gets elite. Like you can watch it here on this little video clip. Like it's elite extension. Like that was a slider, of course, but like guys, he's right on top of people. Like it's not easy against him, but with that extension also comes command issues. And I have him on the SP RP bucket, but I have him leaning towards the RP bucket, if that makes sense. I feel like by the end of the year, he's an RP. He's a relief pitcher prospect for me. But saw a really good performance. He was strong throughout. It was a three inning performance. He was never really in trouble. All the pitches were pretty awesome that day. He was mid-90s mostly. He touched 97, showed late ride up, the sharper break than what I've seen from his slider. But there you go again. I thought the cutter was great too. Like the cut fastball was great as well. Even the changeup surprised me. But again, I don't think he knows where it's going.
So a thrower, not as much of a pitcher. I think he's super interesting. I think he's a bulldog on there. I could see him though being at the back end of a bullpen. Yeah, with how they're building this team up as well. I mean, you got a couple young guys there outside of just even Schultz and Higgins Smith, of course. So they've got some flexibility. So, you know, a little bit of risk and some concern there that might be on the relief side. Two hitters with the White Sox, and then want to jump out of these White Sox. So we'll kind of plow through this. But Braden Montgomery, I've been a huge Braden Montgomery guy. I think he's wildly underrated in first-year player drafts. I think he is going to rocket up boards. And I honestly think the trade from being a Red Sox to the White Sox just kind of degraded value in a lot of people's minds, which I thought was a little bit silly. You got to see him. Let's hear your thoughts on Braden Montgomery.
Well, what made the Red Sox a successful, you know, spot for hitters is their swing lab, essentially, okay? You look at what Christian Campbell's done. Gained a lot of velocity, you know, a lot of swing speed, I should say, and has made himself a big dude, right? But here's the thing: Braden Montgomery already came to the Red Sox when he was there with a lot of swing speed. Like, he wasn't getting any more swing speed from some sort of swing lab or something like that. So like, I really kind of feel like it was a neutral thing. So I development situations, yes, they're what they are. But what the Red Sox do good, Montgomery already did good. So like, it was a neutral type deal. I saw Braden Montgomery for a game. I've watched a lot of video of him so far as well. I've wrote him up for the site. My main thing was really to see him kind of healthy. I got to see two plate appearances from the right side, two plate appearances from the left side, which was good for getting those side angles and all that good stuff. There's going to be some swing and miss in this profile, but like, the power is real. It's going to be plus power, better swing from the left side. I think that's nothing, you know, that surprises anybody out there. Better swing from the left side. But not a bad one from the right side. And look at, I say that, and he's dominating left-hand pitching, right?
Really. He's hitting .471 against lefties right now, too. Funny.
Yeah. Well, it could be also the quality of lefties. Low A is too good for him. They just want to see that he's healthy. Agreed. They just want to see that he's healthy. I got a really good home the first time on him. He seems like he's the same guy after that gruesome injury that he had.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Suffered in the, I think, Super Regionals last year. So, like, kudos to him. It's going to be power. Probably not as high batting average as some of the other first-round picks around him. But, like, he's not going to be a total loss in the BA. I have him right now in our thing that, you know, the projection could be that he's an all-star caliber fantasy player. I feel like he'll fall into that solid average type, the solid regular profile more, where he's definitely a draftable guy and a guy that is going to be useful for several years to come.
Real quick, where do you guys or you have him as far as like a rank goes? Is he's got to be top 100. Like, what's the general rank range?
Yeah, I mean, he's in the top 100. For me, he is probably around the top 50. I would say he's under the top, like within the top 50, just based on the tool set and really and truly finding that I like his swing. The longer levers are going to be what causes the strikeouts. It's not really, you know, the swing. He can get long at times, of course, but that's one of the things the long lever guys do. If they don't stay compact, there's always going to be swing and miss issues.
Okay, so let's do a quick who'd you rather. Trying to save if I want it, which one. All right, let's just do this one right off the bat. Braden Montgomery or Johnny Farmello?
Montgomery.
Okay. Braden Montgomery or Charlie Condon?
Montgomery by a lot.
By a lot. Okay. That seems to be a consensus that's going on.
See, and that's what people here. Here's the great thing. I was on this Charlie Condon before he even debuted. The fact that the guy had dominated a place where right-handers, every right-handed hitter at Foley Field hits well. Okay. Like, it's just what it is. That's UGA's home field. Number two, every place in the SEC is a bandbox, except for maybe Vanderbilt. Like, it's all a bandbox there. And then number three, there is a, like, he drops his hands in his trigger. Like, that can't be good. I thought he was a first round pick, but I did not have him in my top five, top 10, like everybody else, because I just was really. And he's in a terrible development situation with the roster. I
mean, just the way. So like, I'll probably get to see him soon. But yeah, he's out here rehabbing with Robert Collazo, actually. Him and here are both out here. But yeah, couldn't be a worse development unless it was the Angels. It's like Angels and Rockies are like bottom rang of like minor league development.
But I'll say this. Once you get Angels prospects up to double A, triple A, major leagues, I think they have good developers. They seem to have put their better player development closer to the big leagues, which to me is insane, but like it just seems that way.
One last one on this, as far as this live look goes, Caleb Bonimer. I had my boy Vinny down on the farm talking big up on Caleb Bonimer. I got to see him in camp a decent amount. Quick takes. You think Bonimer is on the way up this year? He's an up and coming riser that people need to be paying attention to?
Most definitely. I think he's hit over power by a lot. I think he's actually going to be a better like real life baseball player than fantasy player, but his swing's geared currently to right center field. Got to see him extend his hands and get a double in my look. I've looked at some videos too. That just seems where it is. They'll have to work on his lower half to get him to probably pull a little more. And then maybe he becomes an interesting fantasy guy, but he was a dude that I really liked. I didn't expect him to be as advanced with his swing mechanics and that sort of thing. Usually in low A, even the guys that are first, second rounders, and especially in this draft, I kind of thought that I'd see a cruder player. This guy is somebody who probably can perform in high A right now if, you know, not in a short sample, but I mean over a season. Like I feel like low A might be a child's play to him over a full season.
A guy that you saw that in my ITL on the Patreon world in the Prospect One room, this is the consistent quote that goes around this guy, is that wherever you have him ranked, it's too low. And that player is Sal Stewart. And I believe you got some looks on him. Tutelage with Manny Machado, two homers, six stolen bases, hitting around 300. He's in double A right now. Do you think wherever we all have Sal Stewart is too low?
No, I don't. I think he's I think he's a very good minor league hitter. I think that's what it is. He's very smart, very but we're not talking about plus bat speed. We're not talking about a guy that's going to.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are too easy.
Excite us on exit velocity, 90th percentile exit velocity, that sort of thing. He's going to be a major leaguer. He's probably an average regular for me. I don't have average regulars in my top 100. I want to project guys that are going to be solid regulars and that sort of thing. He's a bigger kid. Defensively, he doesn't really have a home. I got three game look at him, two games at third base, one game at DH. So obviously not the I'm not getting good defense out of DH, in those looks. But I saw a guy that didn't react really well. So second base, I don't know if he would have the range at second base. but he has the profile. You know, I was talking to a scout recently, and we were joking about how every second baseman either steals a bunch of bases or hits about 20 home runs. And then, you know, Sal Stewart's going to be a guy that hits probably about 20 home runs, but like, it's just not going to be a real, to me, it's not a sexy profile. I want this guy to hit the ball harder. I saw him hit a grand slam off of Peyton Pallette, the former White Sox, I think second or third rounder. And he just ambushed, like he looked fastball. He ambushed a fastball. Like he knew exactly what was coming. I mean, I knew I should have put up my camera. Like I even joked to myself, like he's probably going to hit this out of the ballpark. And I mean, he just absolutely destroyed it. But like, once you go to the major leagues, that sort of predictability goes away. So like, where is this guy? I just don't necessarily see him as, like, there's a lot of good high college or minor league hitters. We've seen what Ty France has done in his career. Are we rostering Ty France right now? Ty France was had a very similar exit velocities, that sort of thing, to Sal Stewart when he was coming up. Probably not as good of an eye, but like that's what you're looking at. So like, am I going to go out on a limb on a guy that I think is better than Ty France, and I can't find that next guy that I think he's better than? Does that make sense? Like, so that's why I have him as an average regular place. Again, a very good minor league hitter, and that's okay. I know some scouts that absolutely do not like this profile. I know prospect writers. I had one of them on my profile, and I invite anybody to go back to the episode of the Eyes Have It podcast with Eric Longenegan. Eric and I share the same feelings about Sal Stewart, and he's seen Sal a lot more than I have. It's just, to me, there's not that explosion there. If there was explosion at third base or at second base, maybe I'm higher up on where I see him. But guys like this, I've been right about more times than wrong. I'm okay being wrong about this. You know, I think the last guy that I kind of felt like I was behind everybody else on was Christian Encarnacion Strand. Like, everybody was really, really excited about him. And I just was like, I see it. I thought he was a really good minor league hitter. And I don't even know how he's done in the big leagues. I know people aren't really naming him off. I don't see him on draft boards going as high. Yeah, he's injured a lot. But like, I mean, it's been consistent. You know, it's been a consistent profile, but at a position either DH or at a corner infield. It's not something that you're rostering in your lineup as a top 10, 12, top 15 guy.
I never loved Strand either, by the way. Like, I just throwing him out there as a second. I just remember in the AFL, and I've told this before, but I asked him, because he was playing some outfield out there, and I asked him, I said, how you like an outfield? And he's like, I don't. And he just like affirmatively, he's a little bit of a moody guy, but he was like affirmatively like, I don't like playing the outfield. And it's
that's
like,
hilarious. Like,
there's only so many spots. I didn't really like him in the AFL as much. He's oft injured, doesn't like to play the outfield. I think Sal's a little bit more of a gamer on that. Can I ask you real quick on
definitely
this?
Gamer. He's definitely a gamer. Sal Stewart is.
How about versus his own teammate? Who'd you rather, Sal Stewart or Cam Collier?
I hate you. Just being funny. I hate you, Welsh. Man, that's a hard one. I have Collier because of the upside potential higher. I also, there's a lot. There's a lot to, again, it's when you're trying to, you try to remember to really like a lot of things about players. Like, you've got to like a player to care. You know what I mean? And there's things that I like, but things always overshadow. Like, man, I really thought that, like, I've never seen Cam Collier good, like, in my looks. Does that make sense? So it's hard for me to, like,
be the same.
But I also see the upside as well. There's obviously more upside than Stewart, but, like, man, I hate to say this, but I might go with Sal Stewart at this point. You know, I know I just flip-flopped, but like, Sal Stewart, I think his floor is so much greater, where Cam Collier could be a guy that just, man, he's a bad body for first or third. Like it's hard to verify. Like we're going to talk about the next guy and I was going to use a line for him and we'll use the line right now, but I could say this for Cam Collier too. It's a really hard profile to verify. Corner infield is the hardest profile to verify.
Especially from a real scouting perspective. I mean, something you will always get in when you talk to like people that are deep in the game like that is like corner infield and Longenhagen, you would always kind of hear it. Like anytime there was a guy that was like a first base only prospect, they just get dinged. It wasn't just about the bat. They have to do so much with the bat to carry it. So the who'd you rather, let's do a couple quick hitters here on some really hot players right now, but this is a perfect transition of, I wanted to talk about this guy, but how about this, Sal Stewart or CJ Kafis? CJ Kafis hitting Kafis. .434. Yeah, right now in Double A. Okay, 500 OBP, couple stolen bases, 1,200 OPS, going ridiculous. You're saying Kafis over Sal Stewart?
Yeah, I didn't stutter.
Yeah, without question. All right, so.
And the reason for that is, look at Kafis. Compare video from last year to this year. Yes, we're looking at a short sample right now, obviously. But this guy has physically changed. Like, he's physically a different guy than he was last year. And it's very obvious. He's I like the fact that he consistently makes hard contact. One of the things that I can't necessarily say about Sal Stewart. Secondly, I feel like he has the same sort of plate discipline as well as Stewart too. But again, we're talking about first base only. He's left-handed, so we don't ding him for being right-handed. I hate to say that, but like a right-handed first baseman, like people thought I was insane when I was touting Pete Alonso when he was in high A or low A or wherever it was. I think it was St. Lucie. I'm not quite sure. It's been a while. I've slept a lot since then. But people thought I was crazy. But like there were things going on. That guy was making major adjustments. And so far, CJ Kafis has made some good adjustments as a left-handed hitting first base prospect. The thing that has yet to come is that over the fence power. We saw 17 home runs last year, combined two levels. He's in Double A right now. It's a very linear swing, lots of line drive contact. He's already hit a bunch of triples, which is kind of funny, but like he's a hard guy to defend because of the way he can spray the ball around the ballpark. So in fantasy might not be the strongest guy, but like I feel like, especially with the Guardians organization that has had a hard time developing corner players, I think we can say that. Like
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready to party.
Yeah, Jose Ramirez was a shortstop, folks. Like that, you know, and then he got kind of big and stocky and whatever kind of thing. But like they don't develop corner product, you know, prospects that often. Like Josh Naylor came from elsewhere. Like it's just not something that this organization has been very successful at doing. But they don't care about a guy that's only hitting 17 home runs a season out of first base because they feel like they can get those runs other ways. We saw a team that didn't hit as many home runs as the rest of the playoff teams make it to the playoffs in what, 2021, 2022. I forget which year they made. I think it was 22. And then last year they added a little more power, but they weren't, you know, slugging the ball that much over the plate, over the fence, except for Ramirez and Naylor. Like, this is a team that is okay with living without much power. So, like, I feel like his path to being a regular player is a lot clearer to me than it is for Sal Stewart.
Yeah, and Manzardo can be the DH. Kafis can come in and be their new Josh Naylor. One quick one. Kafis, or this might be super easy. Kafis or Xavier Isaac?
I'm still on the Xavier Isaac. I just like him. Okay. I think that his issues are trying to the Rays trying to do something with him and try to transform him. The Rays are going to take their time developing. They always do. They take their time developing players. Just because Junior Caminero went through so quick, that's not the norm in that organization. They're less stat driven in the minor leagues than anybody else.
All right, we got two last things we're going to do. Who'd you rather at the end? So we can kind of jump through these. This is just one singular name I want to throw out to you. Obviously, the talk of the town. I saw him in the AFL. That player is Zaire Hope. Has kind of taken the prospecting world by storm into last year, was incredible in the AFL. This year, kind of meeting the call again. He got a high A assignment. He's hitting .328, four homers, four stolen bases. I was a little worried that he might be an only fastball hitter because he got just ate up by everything non-fastballs in the AFL. But he's rocking it right now. So what I'm presenting to you in the real prospecty world slash fantasy, the question is Zaire Hope a slam dunk, no doubt, top 25 prospect in baseball?
I ranked him 11th in the offseason at 10th or 11th at Lindy's. I write the Lindy's baseball preview, the phenom list in that magazine. And I had him ranked either 10th or 11th.
Is he a top 10? Sorry, I misspoke, yes. Chris. Is he a no doubt slam dunk top 10 prospect?
Yes, I believe he is. The guy hits the ball at such a velocity. I think he has a better hit tool than what some people were giving him credit for. You also believe in the development situation as well. Is he a center fielder? Probably not. I mean, he's really bulked up tremendously. I think he's a corner outfielder, but it works. It will work there, right field. The guy will be able to play there. Just absolutely hurts pitches. And I feel like, again, there's more of a hit tool there. I don't feel like he's going to strike out at an astronomical rate. I feel like his BABIP's going to be high because he's just going to put good wood on balls. Like him a lot. He's a top 10 guy for me.
Zaire Hope or Leo DeVries?
I like Hope better. I like DeVries. I mean, DeVries, real life baseball player, does a lot of good things and stuff. I was really impressed with how mature he seemed in the infield. But for fantasy, I'm going with Hope.
I like that. All right. Last one. I've been talking about it. It's obviously like a little bit self-serving. We've had this debate. It's funny because I've been the Slade Caldwell guy. James Anderson has been the Ryan Waldschmidt guy. We both have kind of flip-flopped them. Both are off to incredible starts. We've got low A for Slade. We've got high A for Ryan. But the really interesting thing about it is Slade is like absolutely destroying low A right now. He's got a homer, three stolen bases, hit .356, over 500 OBP, which is crazy. Also, 9 of his 16 hits are extra bases. He has 7 doubles, a triple, and a homer. And the old adage of doubles being future, power potential. He is a small guy. He is smaller than he is listed. I can tell you that. And Ryan Waldschmidt on the other end is looking like a complete player. Who would you rather, Slade Caldwell or Ryan Waldschmidt?
It's gotten a lot closer. I was a lot. I was like you. I was really on the Caldwell bandwagon, especially when he got drafted. I think he got dinged for reasons he shouldn't have been dinged for in the draft. I felt like he was a much higher pick than where he was selected at 29th overall. I felt like he was top 20 at least. So good work by the Diamondbacks getting that signed and all that good stuff. He's still only 18 years old. The thing is, he's not going to get much stronger. That's just what it is. He's close to physical projection in my eyes. But here's the thing. The dude has always hit the ball hard and has hit the ball hard this year. It's evident and stuff. But I think there's a lot of power projection here. Probably not, but Like, I feel like people are downsizing, like kind of just looking through these glasses, seeing his height, seeing his weight, and thinking that, hey, he's not going to be at least an average power guy. This profile as an average power guy is a pretty big deal because he's going to play center field and he's going to steal some bases as well. This is supposed to, 18-year-old in low A is pretty aggressive. I know.
I thought he was going to be in rookie ball, to be honest with you. I was kind of surprised.
And honestly, he's probably going to be in high A by the end of the year. Like this is a kid that's going to go up. The swing changes. I looked at some videos. So I haven't been as familiar with Waldschmidt as other guys. Like I saw him during his draft year and I've seen some videos since then and stuff. But Waldschmidt swings much different this year. He's attacking balls at a very high pace right now. We want to see if it's beyond the short sample, of course, but like...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, Buckaroo.
All night.
Well, Jets show it's closer than really realistic. Because I kind of I had Jet in my top 50 this offseason, and I don't know if he's in my top 50 right now. Just watching some of the spring training at bats, also seeing that there's maybe more swing and miss there. When you're a shorter guy with more swing and miss, that's very concerning. Like you should not swing and miss that much when you're 5'6". I'm just saying that.
And that's like, Slade. Slade is listed at 5'9". He is probably 5'6", 5'7". And that
and Jets listed at 5'7". So he might be 5'5", 5'6". It's interesting. I have a friend that I, when I was scouting Ozzy Albies, I just said, how tall are you? He's like 5'6.5". I said, go stand next to Ozzy Albies right now. Ozzy was on concrete and cleats. So that gives you about an inch taller, you know, type thing. He comes up to me. He's like, I'm literally the same height. I said, he's 5'5.5" then. Like the
liberal uses of height in baseball is not.
But I would venture to say Williams' height is more accurate than Slade's.
100%.
We'll see what they really are when they get to AAA, when they have to be measured for the strike zone.
That's right. And, you know, hey, the eyes have it for his real height and the eyes have it on the podcast side. Chris Blessing with the Eyes Have It podcast over on Baseball HQ. Anything you want to plug? What's going on HQ or the eyes have it?
I have Tim Kanak on this week. Podcast just went live this morning, actually.
Oh, nice.
I'll have Jesse Sevier, a prospect one guy. On this next week, he's helping us out at Baseball HQ as one of our minors writers.
That's right. Yeah. You did it right. You guys did it good.
I found somebody that I enjoyed talking to on his podcast and Dynasty Sports here on Prospect One Network, or not Prospect One on your
In This League. It's in this league.
It's in this league. It's in this league. Whatever. But that's your brand. I should know that. Those are my next two episodes. I got the Hagen Smith thing coming up. I'll have a lot of good live looks in May, probably hopefully get more hitter looks. All I'm seeing on the schedule right now are pitching. And it's bothering me because like I'd rather have hitting looks because they're so much easier to do, really. Even though I feel like I'm a better scout for pitching. But for hitting, they're just easier to put together.
Now, I've talked about that recently. Like I'm actually leaning, I'm trying to lean a little bit more into maybe like the more hitter evaluation. Cause I feel like, especially in fantasy, everybody is a pitching analyst. And I really enjoy the analysis of hitting at the lower levels and stuff, but be on the lookout for that. Be on the lookout for those podcasts, great episodes, Baseball HQ and C_Blessing. Mr. Chris Blessing, I love you, brother. Thank you so much for taking the time. And I will 100% stealing you in May after some of those looks. But go check out The Eyes Have It.
Look forward to it.
Yeah, have a great one, buddy.
And I'll be stealing you sometime in June or July, man. So
you got me.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Peace. And there you go. Thank you so much to Chris Blessing for taking the time out to join me on the episode. Always love chatting with him. We've done tons of podcasts. We've done live podcasts together. We've done them from the stadium. We did it from the car. I forgot Chris Blessing was a part of it was Blessing, Eno, and I in the famous Drive Across the Valley car ride, where we started in Surprise. We saw Ben Coderna and Frank Mazzucato pitch. Al Leiter was there to talk with Jack Leiter, who was hanging out to watch. And then we scooted across the valley over to Mesa. And I want to say that that's either, it's where I think it's where I interviewed Curtis Mead. It might have been my really crappy Curtis Mead interview, or it might have been Josh Lowe. Don't remember, but apparently it was a Ray. But that was fun, and always had fun with Chris Blessing. Thank you guys, as always, for hanging out. Like I said, inthisleague.com, that's where my top 500 prospect list lives. April's crazy. I've been working on the update. I just got to do the post. But like I said, I'm stuck in a hotel tonight as I'm recording this, or after I record this. That should get the post over on Patreon. Top 400 Dynasty Rank update, top 500 prospects. Go and check that out. Sign up today. Appreciate the support on all of it. And also make sure you check out the live streams I do. Twitch.tv/InThisLeague and the YouTube.com/InThisLeague. Put those posts out there. Whenever I do, really any of them are totally fine for it, but later week ones, love to do prospect talk. So feel free to join in. Mondays have been relatively consistent, though this coming Monday might not be. But go and follow those to get notifications, and I always notify every live stream on Patreon. So there you go. Follow me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. That is it. We are done. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. Thank you to Chris Blessing. And I'm looking forward to chatting with you guys more prospects as we get close to May next week. We'll do it right here